I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, a most unlikely chess champion from the slums of Uganda. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for Look at the Week's News. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The Detroit Tigers are in the American League Championship Series, and I understand some guy named Verlander, Justin gets the gold star, right?
Yes, he's very good at throwing the baseball past the guys on the other team. Now, seriously, he's become one of the great clutch pitchers of the age. He comes out in Game 5. He throws a four-hit shutout with 11 strikeouts. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you talk about in 15 or 20 years, too.
In punching their ticket to the National League Championship Series, the San Francisco Giants have their batters to thank, or at least one of them. Buster Posey hit the third grand slam of the Giants' postseason history on Thursday, so hats off to him and to the Giants.
Yeah, and Buster Posey, of course, is one of the great generic baseball names of all time.
Absolutely.
Buster Posey could have played in 1905.
What are busters supposed to do but bust the baseball,
exactly.
Right? Okay. In other baseball
but
news...
We don't want them to posey at the plate,
no.
Because then you can get the next guy hit with the ball.
In other baseball news, Texas Rangers CEO Nolan Ryan came down on Josh Hamilton because Hamilton had stopped using smokeless tobacco. Did this put Mr. Ryan in direct opposition to the Lord as far as Mr. Hamilton was concerned?
Yeah, this controversy has gotten extraordinarily weird. Josh Hamilton says he quit chewing smokeless tobacco because he was being, quote, obedient to the Lord in quitting chewing tobacco. I have searched the Gospels high and low, and I see no admonition from Jesus about chewing tobacco. But that's neither here nor there. Nolan Ryan apparently thinks the decision has caused Josh Hamilton's career to go south, which reminds me of nothing more than Lloyd Bridges in the Airplane movie. Boy, did Josh Hamilton pick a bad day to quit sniffing glue.
There's also the small matter of Josh Hamilton's career not going south. He had a great year.
He had a very good year. That's true. And whether or not there's any statistical margin to chewing or not chewing tobacco, I'll leave to the folks at Elias.
On Wednesday, Alex Karras died. He was 77 years old. Do you remember him as a terrific defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions or as the guy who knocked out a horse in the movie Blazing Saddles?
Don't shoot him, Bill. It will only make him mad.
Another unforgettable line.
No, I remember him as the rowdy and extremely hard-to-block defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions, specifically in the legendary Thanksgiving Day game against the Packers. And later he became famous as the most celebrated opposition player in Jerry Kramer's Instant Replay, where there's a great anecdote where in the week before they're supposed to play the Lions, Jerry Kramer starts calling his wife Alex just to get mad at Alex Karras in advance. And, of course, everyone remembers Mongo and being Webster's dad. And, he found a way to have a second career based on the fact that he was a big, funny guy.
Beano Cook, who had been connected to college football in one way or another on the air for about 30 years, also died this week. Have you a Beano Cook story to share with us?
Well, I mean, he was notable for his strange love for the University of Notre Dame and his bizarre Heisman picks every year. I remember one time he said that a very forgettable Notre Dame quarterback named Ron Paulus was going to win three Heisman trophies. His love for the game was unsurpassed. He was a very funny and a very nice man.
On Thursday night, Ben Roethlisberger passed Terry Bradshaw to become the Steelers' career passing leader, and I gather he wasn't too thrilled about it.
No, they lost, actually. They got upset by the Tennessee Titans, and Roethlisberger said the record, quote-unquote, it doesn't matter to me. A loss is a loss. He's taking that a little bit too far, I think. And Terry Bradshaw is not an unknown figure in Steeler history, and I think it probably called for a little bit more than that.
Depending on your point of view, Roger Goodell either reconsidered or reissued the bounty-related suspensions that he had previously handed out. Are we finally finished with the legal wrangling on this issue?
I'm not entirely sure, but I think Roger Goodell's two-step on this one is an indication that the NFL lawyers have told him that if this thing ever gets into a courtroom, the league's in a little trouble.
Jets head coach Rex Ryan announced that Mark Sanchez would be the Jets quarterback, this week. That's some vote of confidence, eh?
Well, actually what he said was that Sanchez would be the quote-unquote starting quarterback,
this week. That's worse.
Which means that if Mark Sanchez's first couple of passes wind up in the ground and or in the arms of the wrong team, a great light will come down from heaven and we may see Mr. Tebow yet.
Charlie, on Wednesday, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency issued a 200-page report with an additional 1,000 pages of documents in which 11 former teammates testified that Lance Armstrong had been involved in doping activities. What, they couldn't find any more than 11 former teammates?
Now they've got a head for their wall, and you know my opinion on the anti-doping cops and the drug frenzy in which all the anti-doping cops are getting rich. And I don't have much more to say than that. Than if they're proud of their trophy, I wish them the joy of it.
This week, Roger Federer will be ranked number one for the 300th week in his career. The next fellow down the list, Pete Sampras, only managed that feat 286 times. So perhaps we can offer a tip of the only game cap to Mr. Federer.
Yeah, this is one of those strange statistics that tennis keeps. Tennis keeps track of who's number one for the week very, very, very diligently. I've never quite figured out why. But, congratulations to Roger Federer for being number one for more weeks than anybody else ever has.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. will miss the next two NASCAR races, having suffered his second concussion in 6 weeks. I now address this to Mr. NASCAR. Is it time for NASCAR drivers to receive the same concussion education that's been given to those who play football, hockey, soccer, et cetera?
Well, Earnhardt said that he didn't report the symptoms after having a crash during a tire test in Kansas because he was afraid they'd take him out of the car, which is exactly why people in the other sports never reported concussions down through the years, was because they were afraid to be taken out of the lineup and it would cost them a check. So I think NASCAR's attitude towards head injuries is not evolving quite as fast as, say, the NFL says.
And finally, Charlie Plummer, Colin Furze, has been described as a, quote, lazy new dad from Stamford, Lincolnshire. So why is the 33-year-old now lined up for new Guinness World Record?
Sports! Okay, this is one of those Guinness records that I begin to wonder about. He has the Guinness World Record for having designed the fastest pram in the world. Now, this thing looks like the spout to a charcoal grill. You would not put your child in this on a bet. In fact, Colin himself says that his girlfriend probably won't let him put baby Jake in the mechanized charcoal grill that goes 50 miles an hour because it's too dangerous. But apparently, it passed all the standards for a fast pram that Guinness set down. And it goes 50 miles an hour, but unfortunately, Colin says it's really unstable when it goes at top speed, and if you had a rough bit in the road, you're in danger of falling off. But so far, I've managed not to crash. I think the smart person in this whole lash-up is Colin's girlfriend.
Me too. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.